Hi, this is Dan Sheridan, and I am giving you a supplement to the audio, my last audio on the Gospel of Matthew, where we covered Matthew chapter 19, where we're talking about marriage. And there are a few things I don't think I made perfectly clear, but there are some items I'd like to expound on there and add to what we had talked about with regards to the issue of marriage. You know, you can't go to a wedding ceremony today without somebody quoting the phrase, "What God had joined together, let not man put asunder." And they're applying it to that marriage that's taking place that very day. That couple that's standing before the minister, God is joining them together, they claim. Well, this goes part and parcel with the false claims today where people think that they have divine authority for things that they do. And ministers think that they're specifically chosen by God, and people make decisions and they make denominations and think that they are God's ministers. They're divinely chosen by God. Well, we're living in a day where that is not true. Nobody can say that they are the chosen ones, because remember, in the Gospels and in the Bible, when God chose people, he showed everyone around that they were the chosen people by not only the message that they proclaimed, but by the acts that they did. God empowered his messengers. And there are no messengers today who are empowered. If you are God's chosen messenger, you would be given certain powers that would prove that without a shadow of a doubt, just like he gave to his disciples. It was obvious that they were God's chosen messengers by what they did. Well, in this passage in Matthew 19, with regards to marriage, claims are made for marriages that are false, just like there are preachers out there who make false claims. In Isaiah chapter 30, we read this regarding the coming government of God. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, it says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And the Lord will give you the bread of adversity. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." One of the Old Testament prophets talks about a day when Israel will have a famine for hearing the word of the Lord. And that was the time when they had rejected their God. They no longer heard the word of the Lord. It's not referring to today. It's actually referring to people who actually hear the word of the Lord, not just written on the page, but in demonstration, like Israel had throughout the Old Testament. And in the coming government of God, Israel will no longer have to wait for their teachers. They're going to hear a voice behind them saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." God is going to divinely guide his people. And this is referring to the coming government of God. And I think this begins before the second coming of Jesus Christ, the premillennial kingdom, the day of Christ, when God is influencing the world and he's restored Israel to their land, and they are being a blessing to all around. At that day, they will hear the voice of one behind them saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." God is going to guide them. And that is true in the issue of marriage. In Matthew 19, remember the subject is the government of God. The apostles are proclaiming this great message of God's government. And when God governs the world at that time, just like today, the state rules marriage, unfortunately, and it has rules for marriage, and you know, when people mess up in a marriage, there's alimony to be paid. But when God arranges, there will be no need for that. God will be ruling the people. And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, when it says, "What therefore God hath joined together," this is a divine arrangement. And when God joins it together, let not man put asunder. And that's why there's such harsh judgment with regards to those who get divorced in that coming kingdom. It would be high-handed rebellion to divorce in that time. Remember, the Israelites are going to be in their land. God's Spirit's going to be poured out upon them, just like it was in the book of Acts, except even better, because now they're all going to be back in their land. But at this point, there's still opportunity for people to reject what they're given, just like Ananias and Sapphira and so forth. So in this coming government of God, marriage will be arranged by God. Nobody can claim that today. Now, I've been married going on almost 25 years this April, and this was not a divine arrangement. This wasn't a divine arrangement just like the apostles were chosen by God to be apostles, and the apostle Paul. Our marriage was just in the natural course of events that God has set in motion in this world. There's no divine sanction behind it that, well, God chose from all eternity past that I had to marry Becky or anything like that. In the coming government of God, God will choose who's going to marry who. Just like in the Old Testament, marriages were arranged in a certain way, had to be married within the family. They were divine arrangements. If you read in the book of Numbers, God gave specific instructions regarding which tribes the woman was to marry from. So the marriages were arranged. They were of divine order. And in coming government of God, it'll even be more so because God is going to be speaking to them. He's going to be doing it in miraculous ways, and those are things we do not have today. And another thing to think about that coming kingdom, is that God is going to pour out of His Spirit. He's going to give them a new heart. He's going to take out their stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh. And in that day, they will no longer be like they were. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord says here in Matthew 19, the reason why Moses in Deuteronomy allowed them to divorce was because of the hardness of their hearts. They had hard hearts. But in the new covenant, they will get new hearts. They will get new hearts. And this is why when God is governing and God is visibly active, those who turn away from this at that time will be guilty of a great sin. To turn, just like in the book of Acts with Ananias and Sapphira, I brought that example up a number of times, and all you have to do to see is look into the book of Acts and see where these divine judgments are happening when people are despising God's work in their midst. And like I said, you and I don't see that and an activity today. God's kingdom is on hold, the visible manifestation. We now live in the kingdom of the Son of His love. We believers are subject in our hearts to our Savior, and we live for Him here and now, but there are no visible demonstrations of that today. And so this passage in Matthew 19 cannot be imported into the present time. Neither can other passages wherein God's government is still in demonstration. When God's government is demonstration, we have to be careful that we don't import situations that are suitable at that time, that we don't import them into this present time. Well, my goal was to kind of clear up a few things here on Matthew 19 that I felt I was not as clear on in my Matthew study, and I thought it was important because so many people have just been really torn up over this issue of marriage and divorce. Marriage is a wonderful thing. We should cling to it. We should love our wives. We should devote our husbands are to love their wives and give themselves up for them. And we cannot use kingdom ideas to talk us out of it. So many people, because they confuse the situation of Matthew 19 and the Acts period with the present, are just making a havoc of the issue of marriage. Yes, rightly dividing the word of truth even applies to the subject of marriage. So let's do that. Let's rejoice in what we have. If you're married, if you're a man, love your wife as Christ loved the church. If you're a wife, be subject. Love your husband. Respect him. And together, husband and wife, in love together, pray together, studying the scriptures together, raising families together, be an example to the world of what a loving marriage is like. And that is one of the glorious things about this topic, is it's a great opportunity to be an example for others. This is Dan Sheridan. I hope this has been helpful. We'll talk to you again in our next audio on the Gospel of Matthew.